Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When someone curses you, you are supposed to, what does it say here? Bless those who curse. You're supposed to bless them. Find a way to bless them when they curse you. Wow. And pray for those who spitefully use you. It gets worse. Spitefully use you. Someone says, you don't know what they do to me. Do they spitefully use you? Yeah. Pray for them.
Jesus commands us to bless those who curse us. That is not an easy thing to do. How do we truly love others when it's hardest? Today on Practical Christian Living, we continue our series through the Gospel of Luke with chapter 6, 20 through 36. Loving those who are hardest to love begins with walking in the Spirit. With more on how to do that, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
He says in verse 27, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Do you have a real enemy? Someone who really hates you? Someone who's really against you? Someone who wants to tear you down? Then you have an opportunity to do what Jesus said that's hard to do, something you don't want to do. And you can love your enemy. You can go, that person's a genuine enemy. That gives you an opportunity. You probably didn't think you'd come to church and hear that it's a good thing that you have an enemy. But it is, because then you can love them. When you find out that someone's an enemy of you, when yours, they want to find out, they want to hurt you, they would like to take you out, then you can love them. And we go, well, that's not easy to do. And that's the point. We're going to see that a lot of these things aren't easy to do. A lot of these things are hard to do, maybe even near impossible. He says, do good to those who hate you. Not only love them, but now you got to actually do good for them. That means you've got that person at work that's tearing you down and slandering you, that's caused you not to get that promotion, that now you read this, you got to find out a way to do good for them. You say, well, I don't even do good for people I like. But it doesn't say that. It says do good to the person who hates you. So now the conviction should be, I'm convicted that I need to go and do good for that person that hates me. It says, bless those who curse you. This, with each successive command Jesus gives, it gets harder. He doesn't give us commands that we go, I do that all the time. Driving down the road and somebody gets red-faced and angry at you and they give you a creative hand signal. And you say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Now, I do that sarcastically. I'll just be honest with you. So when someone flips me off, I go, God bless you. But I'm sarcastic. I'm as sarcastic as I can be. I'm doing what Jesus said to do, but my heart is a sinful nature that what I really want to do is hurt that person. And so I say, God bless you, you know. And if I get an opportunity to say that to them, if they're yelling at me with their window down, I can roll down my window, say, God bless you. I'm doing it to get them. That's why I'm doing it. I'm doing it to make them feel like, boy, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe that guy's a pastor. I don't know, you know. So he's saying, genuinely, when someone curses you, you are supposed to, what does it say here? Curse you. Bless those who curse you. You're supposed to bless them. Find a way to bless them when they curse you. Wow. And pray for those who spitefully use you. It gets worse. Spitefully use you. Someone says, you don't know what they do to me. Do they spitefully use you? Yeah. Pray for them. That's what you're supposed to do. You say, I don't want to pray for them. I want to stew on it. I want to think about it. I want to think about ways to get them. I don't want to pray for them. Says, pray for those who spitefully use you. Chuck said that he used to pray for people that God would break their teeth in their mouth, because there's a literal Psalms where David prays to break the teeth in the mouth of his enemies. And so when someone would come after Chuck at a certain point in his Christianity, he would pray, God, break their teeth in their mouth. Gail Irwin says that when he wants to pray for someone who is spiteful, who uses him, that he prays that they get nausea and lockjaw at the same time. That would be bad. That's not what he means, right? And by the way, Gail Irwin was making a joke to say, hey, we're supposed to pray for those who spitefully use us. It gets harder. Okay, this Jesus is teaching here doesn't get easier. You might have thought you'd be able to come to church, hear the teachings of Jesus, and go, I'm doing them all. I'm going to leave doing them all. Well, okay. If you're that person, well, we'll talk about you in a minute if you are doing all these things. He says, he goes on and says, pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. So this is not self-defense. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but this is where people like to go with this. That you don't protect yourself. You become a pacifist. If someone comes into your house, breaks in, you're supposed to say, my family's in the back. I don't think that's what he's saying. Have any of you ever been slapped? Let me rephrase that. Do any of you have siblings? I have an older sister. And my dad died when we were young, and my mom went to work, and we just were around our house. She's 2 years older than me. We fought like dogs. We slapped each other. She pulled my hair out of the back. I still have a bald spot in the back of my head where my sister, after I held her down, she was so angry, and I held her down, and finally was getting to the size where I could kind of handle her. I was like, just stop. You're going to quit now? You're going to quit now? Are you? She's like, yes, fine. I let her up, and I turned around. She just grabs a hold of the back of my hair, and I was out in the backyard pulling hair out for like 20 minutes, maybe longer than that. Like I said, I still got a bald spot from where she did that. So when someone insults you, when someone slaps you, that's not how you want to respond. When you're out on the road and someone insults you, what happens to you? That sin nature, and you rage. You could talk to me that way. You're honking at me. Beep. Back to them, right? That's just our nature. That's who we are. And so if someone slaps us, you're like, oh, I'm bringing it now. Slap me, I'll slap you, right? So we're to turn the other cheek. Someone insults you, you turn the other cheek. Someone gets really angry at you, you just kind of let it go. That's what he's saying. It gets harder. Doesn't get easier. And we know that one. That one we know. That's a familiar one. Some of these other ones are not as well known. He says, if anyone takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Now, in their day, they wore three sets of clothes. There was what would be equivalent to a t-shirt and shorts, what would be a robe that you would wear around, nice robe, and there would be a coat, an outer tunic that you would wear. So he's saying you're in a field, and you're working in your shorts and your t-shirt, and you got your tunic and your cloak over there, and a guy runs by and grabs your tunic and runs off with it, that you're supposed to say, hey, wait a minute, oh, you forgot the coat. You're supposed to go and grab your coat and give him your coat as well. Now, that might be hard for us to comprehend, but it'd be like you're in New York, and some ruffian grabs you, slams you against the wall. Give me your wallet. You're like, okay, don't hurt me. So you give him your wallet. And then he turns around to leave and you say, excuse me, sir, you forgot my money clip. Here you go. Take it all. Because that's what Jesus said to do. I don't know where else to apply this, but he's saying if someone has taken something from you, to give them more. This last year, I had somebody that made a copy of a check of mine and then signed it and tried to cash it. And he cashed it, and the bank found out about it, and they pressed charges against him, and I came up as a victim on all of the paperwork. He was going to be judged for this. And now that I think about it, I read this, I think that was my opportunity, because I'm trying to think, where can you apply this? My opportunity would have been to go to court and give him a real check with the same amount on it. Here, I just wanted to give you the real check. That would have been, right? That would have been my opportunity. Instead of me going, like I did, can't believe he faked a check of mine and tried to steal my money. Thought I could go, wait a minute, that's an opportunity. I now can give them something beyond, because Jesus said that. This is not, I don't hear people memorizing this section. I don't hear people saying, I did that, you know, I caught somebody stealing out of my yard, and I gave them four plants. They were stealing one of the plants I was going to plant. I gave them all to them. Now you got something to work on, right? It gets harder. Can you believe that? That's hard, right? It gets even harder. He says, verse 30, give to everyone who asks you. Give to everyone who asks you. I've had several people, since I've been teaching this now the last couple of days, ask me for my truck. I say, you could have the payments too, but here's the thing. My truck is almost paid off. And so that doesn't really work anymore. But I figured it out, by the way. I figured out how to respond to this. You guys interested? So when someone asks me, hey, I want your truck, I say, well, you give me your house, I'll give you my truck. If they're going to use it and say, you have to give me everything you have. Now, the only problem is if someone doesn't have very much and they're asking you and they're like, okay, deal. You give me everything and I'll give you everything because we asked. But then I can ask them back. All right? So obviously, there's something not really legalistic about this, but there's something that Jesus is saying to us that when someone asks you, be the kind of person who will give it. That's what he sounds to be generous. Be the kind of person that gives it. This isn't some kind of a law that we can get Christians with. Just ask them, find out if they're really Christians. Ask them something that they have. But it's that we're to be generous and we're to give to people who ask. He says, he goes on, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes your goods, do not ask them back. That's a hard one too. I have a friend of my son's, my oldest son, a friend of my son's, who moved away to, I think it was Kentucky, and he took my mountain bike with him. He had borrowed my mountain bike without asking, by the way. He just took it out of my garage. It was a Specialized aluminum mountain bike. It had, if you guys know mountain bikes, it had XTR, it's an all XTR bike. It was a great bike. And he decided to take it with him. First of all, they took it, I lost my bike. I was like, I can't find my bike. I told David, my bike's gone. He's like, oh no, so-and-so has it. I don't want to give you his name because he's been to the church before. So-and-so has it. And I'm like, why did he take my bike for it? I got to admit, I was mad. He just took my bike without asking. What if I wanted to ride it? And he just took it. And now he's in Kentucky with my bike. Then he comes in all excited a little while later. Hey, so-and-so's on the phone. He wants to say hi to you. And I'm like, hey, buddy, how are you? I'm good. How are you? I just wanted to say I'd miss you. And I miss my bike is what I miss, buddy. I don't say that to kind of give like the hero aspect of what I did because it was hard for me not to say anything to him. And I really want him, he's struggling with his walk with Christ. I really want him to come to Christ. And so that's why, not because this says don't do it, that's why I didn't do it. I didn't ask for the bike back, which if he hears this, I want him back. I've actually gotten another bike since then. Don't come and ask for it, all right? So it gets even a little bit harder if you can believe that. He says, give to everyone who asks you, and you who takes you from your goods, don't ask him back for it. And just as you want men to do to you, you do also to them. So this is the golden rule. This is a great way in which we can apply these things. And I use that in my life. I try, like if I'm in a bathroom and I've kind of left a mess behind, I got some paper towels around, I'll clean up. And maybe clean up somebody else's stuff too. Just because if I were cleaning the bathroom, I wouldn't want to walk in on a huge mess. So I try to apply it in every aspect that I can. I try to apply it when I drive. I'm not very good at it, but I try to apply it when I drive. I want to treat people when they turn on their turn signal. I want to let them in. Because when I turn on my turn signal, people never let me in. They speed up, cut me off. So I don't turn on my turn signal. I just go over, then turn my turn signal on. Don't tell me you don't do that. I know some of you don't, but all of you do, all right? I know that. But that's great for us. Now, I'm not saying that we don't try to do these, okay? I think we do need to try to do these. This is the Christian life, and we need to do these. And when these bizarre things happen to us, which are not common, then it gives us opportunities to do them. But listen to what Jesus goes on to say. Verse 32, he now gets to the heart of what his teaching is. And this is why it's so different than what anybody else teaches. He says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners love those who love them. So you're being different, genuinely different when you do this. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those with hope of receiving back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. So he summarized everything. And then he said this, great will be your reward and your reward will be great. So Jesus is saying you live this way now for what you can receive in heaven. And we could sum up a lot of the teaching of Jesus that we need to live our lives today investing in eternity for what heaven is about. But there's another application, which is maybe even more powerful. Then he says, and you will be sons and daughters of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. When you're kind to those who hate you, you're being like God. When you're doing these things, you're being like him. And then he says this, verse 36, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So in other words, he's saying, you don't keep these, and you judge people who don't keep other things. And you need mercy, and so you better be merciful. He's bringing up all of these hard things that are hard for us to do. And if we are honest, we go, I fail at them. And if you didn't, I said I'd come back to that. If you don't fail at these, I want to know who you are, because I got a few things I want to take and see if you ask back for them, you know. I'm not going to ask you for them, because we already talked about the loophole, how to get around that. But I'm just going to take it. It says, if you take it, don't ask it back. So anybody here that do all these things all the time? Just wondering. Man, none of the services. None of the services had anybody there that I could just go take their stuff. So the real point is that we aren't as spiritual as we might think. That we need mercy. And therefore, we should give mercy. Jesus did this in the Sermon on the Mount as well. And it's even more so pronounced in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus wanted to show us that we were falling short of what God's standards are. When he said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's how he sums up this section in the Sermon on the Mount. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then you go, okay, now I'm done. I'm not. I won't. I will never be. And then he says that if you've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I tell you, if you're angry with your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. We've all been angry at our brother. We've all been angry at somebody. He says, I told you not to, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I tell you, if you've lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. And so Jesus is showing that we've all failed and that we need mercy. And the mercy that we give is the mercy we're going to get. And it shouldn't be any surprise to you that the very next thing Jesus talks about is judging. That's our teaching next week. Judge not, lest you be judged. God's saying, you think you're keeping everything? The way you judge people is the way I'm going to judge you. In our study today, the mercy you get is the mercy you're going to receive. What matters to God most is the way we treat each other. And I need a lot of mercy. I want a lot of mercy right now. I want a lot of mercy in life. I want God to be merciful to me right now. And I want a lot of mercy when I stand before him in eternity. And so I need to be merciful. When people do things against me, give them mercy. When people do things that are wrong, that I'm careful not to condemn them when I might have that hypocrisy in my life. I think it's that hypocrisy that looks so ugly to God. I think it looks ugly to us. I don't think it just looks ugly to God. When we learn that someone was a hypocrite, we go, it just is something that's disgusting. And God says, how does that feel to God when we talk about someone when we ourselves have been judgmental towards them, or we ourselves do the same thing and we talk about them? He even talked about the other. You're trying to take a speck out of someone's eye, and you got a plank sticking out of your own eye, which is meant to be humorous. Jesus meant that to be humorous. See somebody with a big stick out of their eye, come here. You get that splinter. Tell you what, get rid of that stick first and we'll talk. So that we would say, I need mercy. I need mercy. Do you guys need mercy? And we should be people who are merciful, because we don't live to the standards of God. Jesus is giving us this perfection, and I want to, and I'll try to. But I already know I fail. I look back, I fail. In the moment when that person honks their horn at me, I get a rage, just like you. You say, not me. Good for you. Let's all stand and pray. Father, thank you so much for your word that speaks to us in these deep and really profound ways. And we see the depth of your teaching, that we are to do things here now for eternity. And that really we might think we're blessed right now, but it might be a problem for us. That we could be rich and it could be a bummer instead of a blessing. And those who are poor might have a blessing because they're going to be in eternity with you in riches. And Lord, thank you that we see these contrasts and we see these teachings that are so profound and so powerful. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your life, if you've never become a Christian, you don't become a Christian just because you decide I'm going to start going to church. That might be a first step for you, but Jesus said you must be born again. You have to be born spiritually. And in order to be born spiritually, you have to receive him. John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. I had somebody tell me about a year ago, where does the Bible say you have to receive Jesus? John 1:12. If you receive him, he gives you the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. And if you believe in his name and invite him in today, then you will be given eternal life and you'll begin to live those things. And the very things that you saw here today will be put into your new nature. And although you may struggle with them, you'll have a greater opportunity to be able to do those things that we saw than when we heard about today. So if you're here today and you would like to give your life to Christ, or you would like to reboot, you'd like to start the walk over again with him, you need to because you walked away, then I'm going to ask you just to lift your hand up now. Lift your hand up high. I want to see it. I want to acknowledge it. I want to pray with you. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to invite him in. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God bless you guys. That's great in the back. And God bless you, ma'am. That's wonderful. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know that my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Or for the reboot, you know, for starting again if you walked away from him. We have a new believers table that's out in the foyer. There's a team there. We want to give you a Bible. We want to give you a new believers packet. The Bible's obvious. It's the milk and meat of God's word. You read it to grow and mature. The packet gives you information on what you do now that you made a commitment to Christ. You raised your hand. A lot of people make commitments in church and walk out and never follow through. So this packet helps you to know, what do I need to do now to make sure I follow through? You could also send us an email at saved@calvarytucson.com. We'll have people that will respond to you, tell us your story, tell us you got saved, and we'll respond to you in that and be able to interact with you, help you to know what to do. And also, you could send Ready to Jesus, a text, Ready for Jesus. It's Ready for Jesus to 94,000, and we'll send you a new believer's card, a link to a new believer's card. Fill that out and we'll be in touch with you. We just want to do anything we can do to make sure that we make that connection with you and see you have that solid start with him. Now, the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask men and women to lift up your hands that are holy by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to also ask you to pray for people that you know that may be sick or struggling or hurting or walking away from the Lord. Because our prayers, a pastor's prayers, are not any stronger than anybody else's. And you know people you want to pray for. And if you need what I'm praying for you for, then receive it. If you don't need it, then pray for somebody else that you know that does. All right? So, Father, I want to pray for all those here now as we lift up our hands to you, and they are holy by the blood of the Lamb. And you've said the prayer of a righteous man will accomplish much. And so, Lord, I pray for those that need a healing touch. Touch and heal now in the name of Jesus. We also pray for those we are thinking about that need of healing touch. Touch and heal them. Lord, we pray for marriages that are struggling. We pray for people that are just struggling with life. They just can't seem to get it together. They just seem to be stumbling from one place to another. Strengthen them, call them, do whatever you have to do in their lives. I pray for those that feel like they're at the very end. Maybe those here that have a broken heart, or those whom we know that have a broken heart. You've said you're close to the brokenhearted. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just comfort them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself using the opportunities God gives you to do the very things Jesus gave you to do. I wish that I could have the sincerity I have when I say that with you to someone who curses me. You pray for me that I would have that, and I'll pray for you that we can follow through with these things.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.